I know you came here for the sultry, soothing tones of Terrathorn, as you always do. But alas, today you get Kat McCormick, post-COVID. Tara.
Catherine.
Musician. Filmmaker. Author. And disgraced journalist. Today is the last day of the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big day. The city has literally been swept into the sea. And your dreams along with it.
Right.
How are you feeling?
I feel all right. This James Lipton vibe. I'm a big fan. Where's your stack of cards? That's what you miss. That's what you missed. Don't laugh too much. You can't breathe.
It's the visual gags.
Yeah, I feel okay. Yeah, it's been 2 years. It was supposed to be 6 months. You were the first guest.
That was the first pin in this thing's side. That was it. It was never going to make it.
First guest, one of the only few repeat guests. And if I had thought about it and was better at my job, I would have put together the supercut of how many times people have said your name on this show.
Oh.
Every theater person that's ever come through here has mentioned you for some reason. It's like,
you know, I'm
they
very
saw you at a thing, or you hired them to do a thing, or you played a thing.
Mm-hmm. 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 I'm known for things.
Likewise.
So, Tara, when you were a young child, was it always your dream to host a podcast?
Well, growing up in the 80s, when mm-hmm. podcasts were invented.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
No.
And it wasn't my dream to be on the news, even though, you know, I love Steve Murphy.
Yes.
Guest of this show.
I do know that.
And I've watched him since, we always watched him in my house. But I never thought I should be on TV. I still don't think that. People ask me and I say no.
It's a real shame.
I don't.
You are a visual treat. So, Tara, you have been a champion of the arts.
I
in
try.
This city.
Yep.
For so long. How come you never left?
That's a great question. Do you know, have you seen the episode of The Office? Do you watch The Office? I feel like you don't.
Sure.
Okay. Stanley has a heart attack at work. And then he says, I want to quit, but I'm too old to get a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have savings enough to retire. I feel like I'm working in my own casket. That is how I feel about Halifax now.
It's too late. Oh.
I have a great situation rent-wise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I literally, if I wanted to leave, which I don't, I could not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere to go because it's all so expensive. I tried to leave in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And
Stephen Harper was like, no.
I interviewed for a job at iWeekly in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't get it. And then the Coast made me full time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time I scared them, I think. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
So, Tara, famously, I don't remember when we first met. But I do. I do. You just didn't leave an impression on me, I guess. No, you came. It was the very first professional thing I ever did was with Zupa Theater.
I don't think I knew that it was your first.
Well, now you do.
Wow.
I just sort of sat in the shadows while you interviewed everyone else.
Yeah,
carry on. And then later I did meet you at a Zupa concert where you bombed in
so
the most.
So hard. So hard.
My heart. I've never enjoyed anything more. I've never seen anything like it. It was the first time I'd ever heard someone say, this is my nightmare. I still quote you at all times.
Well, yeah, I don't have the professionalism that training brings you.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Let me set the scene. It's a night of cover songs.
Yeah.
Tara goes up.
Inspired by women's names. Remember that?
No, I don't remember anything but you. Just totally bombing. So Tara's up there. She has no idea what the lyrics are to the song.
The
she is singing.
First line. I had to ask the crowd.
Oh, God. But they gave it to you. Right?
They did. It was Allison Starting to Happen by the Lemonheads.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is all to say that way back when I was starting out here, you were the voice
mm-hmm.
of arts in Halifax, and you still are.
Like Barbara Walters herself.
Yeah, until today, I guess. So this is kind of let's say, not your last chance, because surely someone will scoop you up, but for right now, let's pretend this is the last chance.
Oh, there's no one left to scoop me up.
Look, look, Eastern Front Theater, we could get really into podcasts.
You want
podcasts.
A newsletter?
Yes, actually, I would love that. We can't pay you, but it is competitive.
We'll see.
Rates. But in all of your years, going back, is there anyone that you look at them and you think like, oh my God, that's the underdog of my heart? Like, is there anyone that you've interviewed that you still watch with pride, like a mother's glowing pride?
Yeah, Jen Grant.
Oh!
Yeah, we met because I ended up working on the story for a year. And
what?
That's how long her record took. And it's the longest, like, you know, you read these Rolling Stone stories and they're like, they got sent to like Spain to be in the Weekend's bordello or whatever. And you're like, I didn't get to do stuff like that. But I read stuff like that. And so whenever I could go hang out with people, I was trying to hang out with people and they didn't really want you to.
Yeah.
Because they're Halifax people. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you want to do what? Come to rehearsal?
Yeah,
why?
Don't look at my shame.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the longest I'd ever been on a story. And we were strangers when we met. And then we just, like, I went to the studio. We had a lunch interview. I went back to the studio, like, 6 months later. We had a real interview. And she'd gotten, like, she had a breakup that morning. And I was like, you don't have to do this. She's like, no, I need to. And then we also, like, those were the days where the Coast, photo shoots, no one got paid what they were worth. So we always got these really amazing photo shoots out of people. It's a Scott Munn photo, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like a package, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And everyone that I've met in my life, I think, like, minus my best friend from high school, has been through the Coast. Like, I met everyone in the arts through that work. And, you know, I haven't become great friends with everyone. You're not really supposed to. It makes covering the arts difficult because then suddenly, like, everyone's your friend and you can't, and then you're not biased. And then you're biased.
Yeah.
Well, you're biased anyway.
The whole city is a conflict of interest.
It's very, very tough. And I mean, the theater people love to give the Coast shit about not having a theater critic, but it's like, you don't understand. No accountant is an amazing theater critic. You know, like, you're not of it, in it, unless you're of it.
Yeah.
So it was very, very difficult. We just screened the movie on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And Jen was there, because Jen has a song in the movie and a painting in the movie. And the next day, she followed all of you.
She did. I even got an Insta DM.
Yeah. And everyone told me about it. Because I was like,
didn't. Damn it.
You did.
Oh, good.
You were careening toward unwellness.
Oh, yeah, I was very unwell.
But I was like, oh, yeah, like, this is, like, a famous person. This is a famous person. And when I knew her, she was like, yeah, I live in a one-bedroom apartment in the South End, and I can't afford to turn my heat on and whatever. So it's, like, it's just nice to see people ascend. And, like, all the people that are the veterans of the scene now mm-hmm. are people that I've followed through, because that's just how it timed out.
Yeah.
So, like, the kids now, I don't know. Like, and that's an unfortunate part, too, because there's really, Morgan's doing her best over there at the Coast, but there's just the economy of the entertainment, arts, culture, writing is just gone. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no cover of the Coast anymore.
No.
So I don't know who's going to carry and lift these people up, the new people starting out.
Yeah.
Because there's really no place for them. It's really too bad.
Wow, that's really depressing.
Did you think this was going to be fun?
No, I didn't. Not for a single moment. So, Theodore Tugboat, smash or pass?
What do you mean? Like, would I smash the boat? Or, like, is this a sex question?
I think it's a sex question.
I don't feel comfortable answering that.
Okay.
Is that going to be a rat? Is this what we're doing?
This is what young people do now?
Smash or pass.
Yeah. Smash or pass.
I don't think so. I mean, he's probably rich, though, and I'm looking for that.
Look, I can tell you, as a former first mate of Theodore Tugboat, that man ain't rich.
He might be now. Didn't they sell him to Hamilton?
Yeah, I guess so. Is there even water there? I'm still so upset by that. Ugh. Why can't we all ride Theodore Tugboat to George's Island? That is the ultimate Haligonia experience, and
it's
I'm really upset for all of our non-existent children.
What if you built a replica of Theodore Tugboat that only holds two people, and then you just do that? Just ferry one person out back.
Do you hear that, Murphy? Of Murphy's on the Water? All right. We're just going to open up our phone lines now. I think we've got a caller.
Hi, this is filmmaker Kevin Hartford, and I have three questions for Tara. Number one, what percentage of your affection for the film A League of Their Own is residual Thelma and Louise fondness for Gina Davis? Two, is there anything to recommend the recent TV adaptation of A League of Their Own, aside from his explicit gayness? Three, in terms of features, do you write what inspires you in the moment, or do you have a sort of long-term plan as to the types of movies you want to do? Crime drama, then weekend vacation comedy, and then dot, dot, dot.
Thanks, Kevin. It's just one question, but go ahead.
Great questions, Kevin. That's actually a great question about residual Gina Davis love. But I would say 20%. It's a really great movie. It's really great.
It really is.
Like, Madonna is an ensemble player, and she's outstanding. It's the best she's ever been in a
movie. With Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
The pairing we did not know we needed. And we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Great movie. Great show. Yeah, the gay stuff's good.
Yeah.
Darcy
you
Carden.
Have already recommended it to me, and you hate to recommend television.
And I hate reboots.
Yeah.
Because there aren't good ones. This is the exception. And movies. I write, everything has been connected to Compulsus. So Compulsus, which you may have heard on the show, is a lesbian vigilante story. I wrote Lakeview because you all were friends and you were being very funny off screen. And then you had to go on screen and be like, so about all the rapes, who's beating up the rapist?
Is that a line reading?
That's me.
Is that how I should have been doing it? Fuck.
Like Clint Eastwood.
I got to do some ADR.
Yeah. So you had to be very serious, but you're all very funny. So I wanted a chance to do that. And then there's another feature that has stalled out in Act 3. And when I got to page 90, I said, this was a mistake. And it's a love story because someone called me and said, I'm bisexual. I'm like, great. She's like, what movie should I watch? Like, I want a rom-com, but like, that's women. I'm like, oh, that doesn't exist. So I started that, and then Burn Book Tour, which you're in. Mm-hmm. I am minutes away from a first draft of a feature.
I'll never read it.
I know. When it goes into production, I'll send it to you.
Looking forward to it. Okay, so let's talk about the elephant in the room, Compulsus. You have made a movie.
Oh, no. It's fucked up.
It's like a real fucking movie.
Like when you were in that theater last weekend?
I mean, I did get COVID, but otherwise, it was like the night of my life.
It was astonishing to me to come in and kind of just sneak into the aisle and like look at a screen that I look at all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's people I know that I have put there.
Oh my God. And they were good.
They were very good.
Like, it was truly amazing. Everything about it, it looked incredible. It sounded great. Mm-hmm. We had all seen it in a like a white knuckle screener,
yeah.
I think. It was like just
one theater down
crew.
In number three.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were all, I think, just so invested.
Yeah.
Yeah, and terrified. It's like, is this what we meant to make? Here it is.
Yeah.
But since then, you've gone on, how many cities now has this thing played at?
Four? Five? I don't know. Not a huge amount.
Yeah, but international,
yes.
Can we say that?
Yes, Australia. But in Toronto, we were standing backstage waiting to go do the Q&A, and Leslie said, did you add music to that scene, whatever? And I was like, no, you were just listening to other things the first time.
I literally was like, did they recut the movie?
That's
since
what
the
Anna
last
said.
Time I saw
that is what Anna the editor said.
That she thought someone else had recut it?
Yes.
I swear to God, it was like clipping along. It was amazing. But also, what a hometown crowd.
Ugh.
Like, people love you, Tara. Mm. People love you so much. That night, we were at the ill-fated Oasis, and I was at the bar with one Rich O'Coin,
yes,
who I shall name drop here now. And I asked Rich, like, actually, I'm going to be, you know, hosting the Tideline for Tara's last Tideline. If you had a question you wanted to ask Tara, and I swear to God, I'll tell you what his question is, but later.
Okay.
But it took him about, and I'm sorry, Rich, but you know this is true. It took about 15 minutes. Just like warmth was oozing out of the man just about you. Like, everyone in this town loves you. And that's so weird because you hate everything.
So many.
Everything. So my question for you, Tara, based on Compulsus.
Yeah.
Why do you hate men?
Oh, Catherine. I think that's not a real question.
We demand to know.
You know, it's funny. It used to be you couldn't be an open misandrist the way you can be now.
Oh.
Like, that's a thing that I love. And this is in the movie, kind of, that they just have to take it. Like, you have to be like, I have to be like, Palmer, men fucking suck. And he has to be like, I know.
Palmer, are you listening to this? He's just like bleeping out the whole thing in a fit of rage.
Like, he can't, they can't, like, in the circles that we run in, mm-hmm. so-called woke.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, they fancy themselves as such. Like, indeed. There's just like a shame that holds them down now. Which yes. I love.
Yeah.
Which I love. Now, it doesn't mean they don't talk about shit in private. It doesn't mean that they aren't still getting all the things they've always gotten. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean any of that.
Yeah.
But I can be like, men fucking suck in front of 300 people and no one can go, boo.
It's true. Although it is funny. Someone once said men suck on Facebook, and then to test the theory, they got like banned. So then I wrote women suck and I got banned from Facebook.
Oh my God.
So just what so a you blessing. Know. Misogynist Kat McCormick, Mark Zuckerberg took me out, Zuckerberg. If that is his real name. Okay, no, that's not a real question. But has there been fallout? Has there been anything weird from compulsives?
No, honestly, like I, as I said there, and I have said many times, the guys who need to see it aren't going to see it.
No,
there's like full on statistics that I cannot source for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That are like, women will watch anything with any kind of protagonist. Men will not watch things with a female protagonist. Look at Rogue One. Look at Captain Marvel. You know, like, yeah. That's literally why there's a Captain Marvel joke in the movie. I don't fucking care about Captain Marvel.
But somebody does.
But I know people were mad about that. And I just needed to put a little dig in. I do love Brie Larson, but I don't want to, Captain, who cares? Oh, but no, like, we got one weird comment on the YouTube trailer that was like, well... If you do this to men, what about the women that they know? What about their mothers and their wives and their sisters? It's like, yes, let's ask the question, what about the men? And I think it was a woman asking. So, yeah. No, but like, no, I think, honestly, you're not going to pursue it if you're not interested. I do, like, mm-hmm. if we were part of the MCU, different story.
Right, yes, yeah. They're mad enough about She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Can't get compulsives out here.
Exactly. So this, like, little movie that they don't know about.
Yeah.
It's been fine. Which is good. And you know what? Sometimes people don't like it and it hurts to read. And it's fine. But a misogynist reading of not liking it would not affect me because I would know why.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah. And it is kind of amazing. I've had the experience of like, you know, like my dad, Angus, is like, oh God, what's this? You know, a bunch of lesbians beating up dudes? And I'm like, yeah. How do you like that?
Has your dad seen the movie yet? Did
he has it? Not seen it. No, very upsetting.
He can stream it from the St. John Women's Festival, or I can give you a link.
There we go. He is dying to see it, actually. He's a very supportive dad.
My dad was there, too. He never asked me one time. I'm like, I'm making a movie. Never one time. What is it? What are you doing? What's it about?
Yeah.
Never.
No. My dad always goes, oh, yeah? What's this about? And then he leaves, and he goes... What the hell was that about?
I get that was different.
Gussie. Yeah. Yeah. It's real. It is so real. But of course, you know, I largely work in theater. So, you know.
That's a fair question.
Super theater too.
Yeah. That's
like,
a fair question.
What the hell is that?
For any parent.
I think you were good.
What's my barometer here? Cats?
Yeah. Kind of. All right, so let's go back to the phones. I think we've got another question here.
Hi there, this is Stuart Legere, and I'm calling in with a question for Tara Thorne. Tara, hi there. I was going to say first-time caller, but that's not quite true. Anyway, long-time listener, long-time caller. I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which is this. Would you say that what is the biggest misconception about you that you've heard of or that you have intuited or people have told you or assumed about you? Like, I remember I assumed that when we first were becoming friends that you weren't a hugger. And I think I went to a party and hugged a bunch of people and didn't hug you. And you were like, what the hell? And then we chatted about it. And you were like, no, I don't want to hug everybody, but like my friends. And then we hugged. Are there any other misconceptions about yourself that you would like to set the record straight on? Anyway, you're the best. Thanks for this. Thanks for all the tide lines.
Thank you, Stuart. That was concise. And I was going to say the hugging thing. I remember that. It was a New Year's Eve party. I think people think I'm mean because... people think I'm like an asshole.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm mean on the internet and...
There's nary a show I've been to in town where you haven't been screaming at some tall person. I'll be like, oh my God, is Tara Thorne around here? Someone, I'm feeling like a wave of rage. But it's also like the most charming rage ever experienced.
We try to be entertaining. Like, you know, it's interesting, like Fran Lebowitz or something. Like, not Fran Lebowitz, but like that's sort of the vibe, I guess. I think people think I'm like people will often say I'm intimidated by you. And I'm like, why? Like, I go home at night and cry. And nobody calls me. Like, why?
I text you. Now, how tall are you?
5'2".
Yeah. Intimidating. You know what I mean?
Just
that stature alone.
Squat little yeller. Yeah. So I think that's it. But I don't know how you would guess about what people do think about you that you haven't thought of. I hesitate.
Yeah. You think you could hurt me? Yeah.
But yeah, I think about it a lot because it's one of those things that became like a shell, like a protective, self-protective thing to do. And I worry that it's like... too close now, like it's too real,
right?
Yeah, because now I'm like, showing your feelings is for dorks, but it's not. And I think whenever I am sincere or like weepy or emotional, people are like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, I think it throws people a little bit.
Yeah, I think what I've gleaned in my short tenure as your friend is that your heart is so soft and gentle that you need this prickly exterior just to stay alive.
Maybe.
I think you feel everything so much.
I do. I
so
do.
Much too much.
I always say it's hard for me to be on the earth, which is very dramatic. But it's true. It is.
That's very true.
It's also like when people, you know, I'm like infamous for not seeing people outside because I always have headphones on and I always have sunglasses on. So I can't see or hear.
Yeah, she's just a bunch of pancakes.
Usually you have to be as close as this microphone for me to see you.
Mm-hmm.
People have unfriended me because of this. Because they think I've snubbed
them. Who? Name them now.
You know who, but I'm not going
to tell you. Oh, I do. I don't.
Yes, you do. You
okay,
you'll
tell me later.
And I and because they think I've ignored them. And it's like, I didn't see you. It's like, I can't see you and I can't hear. And when I'm walking around, I'm like... not present.
Yeah, what are you
I'm
thinking
not present.
When you're walking around?
I'm not. I am often performing the songs I'm listening to.
Yes.
Or, I don't know, being fucking sad about something.
Yeah.
Or just thinking about, I don't know, the movie or a record. Like, I don't know. Like, I am trying not to be on the earth. Like,
yeah.
I walk everywhere because I have to, but I don't. I'm not like, ew, the joy of the step. Like this hot girl walking garbage that's going on. I'm just like, no, like
heard this.
It's a TikTok thing. I don't have TikTok, but I'm just like not present in those moments.
Yeah.
And then that's of course when you run into people and I will often like when I do stop, I'll be like, were you talking to me for a while? Cause like sometimes they do or they
no
go
idea.
And I'm like, put my glasses on. Like people waving at me at a window. I'm like, I don't know.
No idea who that is.
Yeah.
And it could be someone that hates you. You know what I mean?
It's and like, sometimes it is. Or like someone I hate. It's like, fuck, now I did a whole thing. And so I think that's also part of why people think I'm an asshole.
I mean,
people who know me think that.
I would never say hi to you in the street. I did once and you were like, if you walk fast, go.
I hate walking with people.
Dismissed. Fully dismissed. And you know where we were? We were right at the side of Citadel Hill.
There was the horses.
Entire hill to walk past.
Yeah.
And you said no. And it's, to be fair, I was late.
Yeah. You were ripping to Shakespeare by the Sea. I remember that.
Was that where I was going?
Yeah.
Oh, I was never going to make it.
No, you weren't. And I could not keep up.
That's so sad.
Yeah. I had this whole thing. I'm like, I hate walking in groups.
Yeah.
Because I'm like always at the back.
Yeah.
It stresses me out. And I am never late for this reason. Because I am moving under my own power.
Yeah. No, I'm always dying. I'm always late. One time, Susan LeBlanc, I ask why what you're always doing, because I'm always performing something in my head. I'm like, I'm giving the performance of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, something amazing is happening. And one day, Susan LeBlanc called and she was like, hey, I just wanted to check in with you. I just happened to see you. You were biking. And it looked like you were really upset. And I was like, oh, no. People can see what I'm doing right on my face. It's real.
Because you were doing a monologue.
I was. Of your life. I was monologuing hardcore. I was probably crying in that one perfect tear. Oh, Tara Thorne, welcome back to thanks your own
so
show.
Thanks so much.
I just had to get a cough drop. As you know, I have been brought here from my own deathbed.
That's right.
With COVID.
Which was my fault.
Yeah. For having
a movie and
such
a party.
Joie de vivre. Stuart Legere also called in on the break with another question. Mm-hmm. He called in quite a few. He wants to know, if you could turn any venue in town into a new music venue, what would it be?
Like an existing venue or building or something?
Like a building in Halifax that you turn into a music venue.
I wouldn't run a music venue. I would kick the climbing gym the fuck out of the Oxford, and I would put a rep house back in there. Here's the thing.
R.I.P. the Oxford.
The problem with music venues is that the reason there aren't any is they don't make money.
They really don't.
They're very, very hard. I would also love to see the Rotting Company House be resurrected since it's just sitting there.
Yeah. It's even got a spray painted date on the door from like 2019.
That's where the ghost had like an oyster party or something. Yeah, that's a good question. But you know this, you've toured America. You've been
really
to America. And I have too.
Every Bears Lake of America.
Yeah.
I've stayed there.
But also, you've also been to a lot of theaters there. And the way they preserve old theaters as venues is so beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
I mean, the problem with changing everything, you can't rebuild history. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you knock a building down, if you retrofit a building, that's fucking it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't restore it back to some sort of glory that doesn't exist anymore. So that's sort of the sad thing of here. And you know, I'm not inherently against development and growth and all that stuff, but I really think there's no, even though there's a center plan, there's like no eye on the prize, really. It's just like, if you're a developer, you get to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And you make giant glass and cement buildings with awful names, and you block off my corners.
I'm sorry.
The views. You block off all my corners for 5 fucking years. And yeah, so
call it the tower at least. I mean, come on, it's already branded. The views.
Yeah.
With an umlaut. Come on.
But yeah, I feel like you'd have to find a space and make it your own, or like kick the Urban Outfitters out and do it in there. Like, I don't know. I think it would involve kicking some business
gingers
out.
Yeah. But there isn't like,
I am not
the
a visionary
physical shell of a building that you've ever thought, I must play music here.
No, there isn't.
So you don't have dreams.
Not of losing more money. I do not.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's a good question. That is a really good question. And I wish we should all be asking it to the city, because who's looking out for our interests? You know, they had this at a Music Nova Scotia conference a couple of years ago. They had this concept called like the Nightmare, which is a new thing in cities. Like Austin had the first one, of course. And it's like people who are designated to develop the nightlife. So it's like bar closing times to time out with transit.
Oh my God.
Like not to have different groups of people in the streets all at the same time. Like just sort of parking, like just to make it all work within like city governance.
That's incredible.
It's so forward thinking. Yeah. Yes. And so they had a bunch of nightmares here, and I'm just like, well, this is a beautiful concept we'll never fucking see.
No, of course not. The mayor of Pizza Corner.
Yeah.
Even it. May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yikes. As long as Rocky's is still there. Oh.
Right in the side of the building there. Right in the hole.
It is. Have you gone there though? Here's the real question.
Not recently.
Have you been there for the lunchtime buffet?
No.
Oh.
I worked at Atcoop for so many months. That's too bad.
It's really incredible.
Wow.
And they come around to your table. I don't know what her name is, but she's so sweet. And she's like, no, you got to keep eating. And she like fills up your plate for you. And you're like, oh my God, thank you for these sweet potatoes. It's very charming.
Okay.
Next. Halifax. Okay. Smash or pass? Convention center.
Pass. It does have a liquor store.
It does have a liquor store.
What else does it have? Oh, my best friend works
like
in there.
All of
that
our
feels weird.
Taxpayer dollars, that's I right. guess.
And a Five Guys.
It does have a Five Guys.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
good.
I do like it when their PEIs are from potato.
That's right.
Did I just say PEIs are from potato?
You're not well.
I am not well, everybody. I should not be here.
PEI, also not well.
Oh, PEI.
It's okay.
Really kills me.
We're thinking about them.
Very sad. Like, yeah. Truly swept out into the sea.
There's nothing to stop it. That's
nothing.
The fucked up
it's
part.
It's a sandbar.
You're seeing all those like, drone shots of the of above. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, it's just going to get smaller, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, literally. God. Anyway. Yeah, move to the middle, I guess.
Shove it in, land.
All right. So we're not into Smash or Pass. That's really upsetting. Okay. Donairs or garlic fingers?
Garlic fingers. I love donair meat, but the rest of it, not a fan.
I'm sorry. What do you mean the rest of it?
Like
the sauce?
Yeah. And I don't like tomatoes or raw onions, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just like the meat. And yeah. It seems gross to like it. Do you know what I mean?
You can only like it when you're drunk
yeah.
at Pizza Corner.
Yeah.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi to it.
But garlic fingers, yeah, I don't really know why they're called that. There's just pizza with no stuff on it, but.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was an East Coast thing until very recently. Mm-hmm. And somebody was like, what is this delicacy?
Do not love people calling them garlies.
I do like garlic fingies, though. So how do we feel about that? Smash or pass?
Awful pass.
Okay, smash or pass? Those scooters everybody leaves everywhere.
What?
Those scooters.
Oh, scooters. Oh, they said schooners. I'm like, who's leaving
wish.
Schooners around? I drink those. I fucking hate those things. That's how I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I screamed in the guy's face quite recently because I was coming around the corner on my way back from the grocery store. It was nighttime, and he was on one of those things with a light, and it was coming right at me, and I just screamed, and he was like, sorry!
Somebody got the nightmare on that.
That's right. There's Yikes. So many wheeled things on the sidewalk now.
There are a lot.
Like skateboards.
Yeah.
Those things. Those kick scooters. And bikes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
There's a fucking bike lane. Get out there.
Halifax is not, is too hilly.
Yeah.
For anything with wheels that doesn't have a motor.
You can't bike here. You can't drive here. You can't walk. I don't know how we get anywhere.
I know. Okay, so what infrastructure have you seen elsewhere in the world that you're like, why doesn't Halifax have this?
Oh, that's a hard question. I mean, because the answer is always like a train.
Like it is. I used to think as a child, it was like, if we could airlift New Brunswick and Maine out of here and just scooch right in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, my friend Denise and I used to talk about that. We call it the Pangea Project.
Yes.
Then we just like Montreal will be right there.
Yes.
New York could be Boston be right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Those like.
But I guess a high speed
trees.
Rail would do the same.
Yeah. But it's like it's an underground train. I do love the streetcar as well. And we used to have streetcars here.
I know. And they just ripped up
the last of the tracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
I remember that day on Spring Garden Road. It was like an excavation. You're like, what is that? There used to be other things.
Yeah. And we really
paved paradise. Put up a parking lot. Take away the streetcar.
I do have to say, I'm going to smash or pass for myself here.
Yeah.
That new fucking parking lot at the museum. Oh. I know that was just a lot of land and nothing ever happened on, but goddamn it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our comments.
It's many stories.
It's humongous.
Yeah.
It's quite an eyesore.
But all the people that work downtown are going to park there because it's a quick rip to the Spring Garden Road area.
Yeah. And good for them.
Good for them and their Spring Garden
Road
jobs.
Place. Yes. Good for you. You got a car. We get it.
You're better
than
us.
Fancy. Who do you think you are, Jen Grant? You turn your heat on? Yikes. Now, I've always thought we need one of those things that you put your feet into and your bike and it pulls you up a hill. I feel like that's somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, it sounds fake.
Anyway.
Your feet into it and it pulls you up a hill. It seems dangerous.
All right, another question from Stuart Legere.
Okay.
The company house, which you've already mentioned, may it RIP.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite fond memory of the company house?
I played my first show ever at the company house.
Shut up.
I'm trying to remember what this incident was that started. I was secretly, so I joined this band called Bloodsport, and I was playing the bass.
That sounds so on brand.
Right? Post-rock, Sonic Youth inspired.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was playing the bass, and I had never written any of my own songs. Mm-hmm. And the bass, I didn't know this, it's melody and rhythm. So it really opened up music for me. Okay. Even though, like, I took music lessons as a child, but, like, I had abandoned them. Mm-hmm. And so I was writing my own songs, and Jen and Danny, her husband, like, caught wind of it somehow. And Danny emailed me and said, I'm going to play a show at the Company House, and I want you to open. And I was like, oh, God. And I had five songs, and then we did a Death Cab cover. It was me and Kinley Dowling. Whoa. That was the first iteration of Dance Movies. So Kinley lived with Jen and Dan just over a couple blocks away. Mm-hmm. And we were both so nervous to play that we sat in their kitchen with our backs to each other. And then, Jen lent me a guitar for the, because I didn't have my own electric guitar. And she lent me one for the show. And it was like, it was like a microcosm of what happened at the movie. Mm-hmm. Because I knew fewer people then.
Yeah.
But everyone who I had been writing about for 10 years showed up. And the same thing happened with the movie.
They just booed. Yeah, they
booed themselves hoarse. And it was super nerve-wracking. And, you know, Dance Movies obviously evolved into a lot louder and a lot more. And I'm not scared to be on stage anymore. But I think it was that night. But there have been a million great nights there. Like, you were there for the Atlantis shows that we sold out. And the first Taylor Swift show that was insane. And all the Hot Nogs, which I never participated in. Mm-hmm. Or For the Dead, the Halloween cover show, never participated. But I just loved going. I'd never had, like, a community hub before where they knew me. And it was, like, a norm. From Cheers kind of thing. Like, yes. I just wanted to, like, not be some fucking loser that people are derisive about, which is what happens now.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you, North End. Just terrific.
Hate
so,
it.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's a great night. And Stuart was there for a lot of those, too.
Yeah.
I think he and I know each other better now than we did then, I would say.
Yeah. His Romeo and Juliet night.
Mm-hmm. That was with, like, Kim. Yeah, I was there for that, too.
That was a huge one.
And I will say once again, like, the lacking venue like that, where it's like that venue comfortably held 120 people, and that was a lot.
Yeah.
And it cost $100 to pay the sound person. So you're like, okay, I can put on a show, and I know I need to make $100. Mm-hmm. So anything above and beyond, you made money. So if you had a weird idea, you're like, I would like to do Tori Amos's Under the Pink in full, start to finish. And they're like, okay. But then you have to get out for a pride show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could do it. You could do it. And there's nowhere. Like, you can go to Rad Storm, which, like, there's no booze there. People aren't going to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's for kids, and I love that. We need all ages spaces, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not going to go there. And then, you know, the Seahorse is big. It's like 250 people down there. So, like, there's no mid-range place like that anymore. And it's a huge... It's just really too bad. And the other thing that happens when those venues go away is the people that would play them don't do that art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they don't have anywhere to perform, they just won't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's true of kids, too. I feel bad now for shitting on Radstorm because I was such a pavilion proponent for so long. It was, like, so important.
Oh, my God, the pavilion.
And again, like, another thing, the city, it was a city building, and they didn't understand.
At the bar.
Yeah, like, they just didn't, they don't get why it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's just some fucking pile of bricks on the common that costs us money to have someone to clean and keep the lights on. It's like, no, it's like actually a community hub.
Yes.
It inspires kids to make art.
Yeah.
And then they also get to see cool bands come through. That's another thing. Kids don't get anywhere
God,
to see
Monique.
Bands. Yeah, Monique Weaker Bands.
Come on.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, it's all really too bad.
Yeah. And lest we forget, the Khyber.
Oh, and yeah, like, original Khyber.
Yep.
No offense, new Khyber, but 1588, Barrington, that was the one. And I mean, that too, like, they won. They're like, the city's going to give it back, but it's just been sitting there empty.
It's just sitting
and
there.
And it's just rotting, and they like that. They're waiting for it. Then they'll be like, it's unsafe, and then they don't have to do anything.
It's like that purple house on Spring Garden
Road. It is, but that's been taking a long time to rot. And the Khyber is really well built.
Oh, yeah, that's forever. That's staying forever.
Yeah.
God damn. Okay, you can only choose movies or music. Which is it?
Oh. Music.
Whoa, I'm going to tell all the movie people.
I've seen a lot of movies. I can remember them. But if I had to walk around in fucking silence, I would kill myself. Like, that is just a thing that's true. I don't say that lightly. I mean it.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's like, it's got to happen. I need it.
Yeah.
Did you mean, do I want to make?
Yes.
Me?
Oh. Yeah. But I still, look, we've learned a lot from that question.
Holy shit. I would make movies. I made a lot of music. It has gotten me nowhere. It was nice. I've been writing.
That's not
this,
true. You were on Degrassi.
That's true. In 2010, I was on Degrassi. You know, it's funny because people still ask me about music now, and I don't have any capacity or space for it. Even though we were playing the Seahorse with Palmer's Band Buttes on October 16th. Tickets on sale now, $15. I still do. I love playing and I love being in the band and stuff, but I just feel like your creative, I don't know if you feel about this, but like your creative energy goes to like the available container kind of. Mm. And for me, that has been just writing films since I had a reason to. That's the other thing. It's like,
right,
you're not just going to sit in, I mean, some people probably do sit in their house. And
yeah,
like,
Dan Bray just wrote a play.
Yeah, exactly. Like writing spec scripts and you're like, I don't care. I just want to get better at my craft. Fuck that. Like, no. If it's not going to,
give me a deadline.
No chance of it getting made.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So yeah,
tell me someone else started doing it, and then I'll write it.
That's right. I need to fight
get
that bitch.
Hell out of there. That's mine. Yeah.
Wow, that took a weird turn. I'm so sorry.
No, but I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So
yeah, I don't need to make music anymore. I've been thinking the only reason I would make music, I would make a new record just so I could use it for a movie and then not have to pay for music, which is I did a lot.
Uncle respect Wilson's. That. Yeah. Respect it. Okay, you know that movie that I did not watch, so this is a really good question, about the guy who writes, quote unquote, the Beatles music? Like the Beatles, they don't exist?
Oh, yeah, Yesterday.
Yes, yeah. And he writes it. What album would that be for you if that movie were about you?
Like whose music would I steal?
Yeah.
Oh, probably Boys for Pele by Tori Amos. Like,
I knew it was going to be Tori
Amos. Yeah, well, she's like a genius, and that record is... like, I can't play the piano, and I can't play the piano at a genius level. And her vocals are incredible. Like, she recorded in a church. So, just going for the, literally for God, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised Jesus allowed that, to be honest.
I mean, I don't think it was that commercially successful. It was certainly her most commercially successful, but that's, like, in the mid-90s, that means different things.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
She's a legacy artist, so she's fine. Don't worry about Tori.
Yeah, she can do what she likes.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're dead and gone,
mm.
What do you hope people remember most about you?
I don't care.
Is it the angry day you look at them on the street, or is it your art?
I don't know. I don't. Like,
let me rephrase it.
I don't think
I'm most proud of.
What am I that I've done?
Yeah.
Oh God, I think I've been very lucky to have this job.
Mm-hmm.
That. Where I get to talk to people about making art and why they do it and what it was inspired by and how it made them feel and looking back on their old things and looking for the, like, it's a real privilege. And it sounds like a wanky thing to say, but
no,
it really is. It's like, you know, I think about all the things I don't like to talk about, like cars or food or babies or, I don't know, pants. And then I'm like, but if you want to talk to me about your project and what, how you did it and the methods you used and like the development of, like, I always want to talk about that. Like, it's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
And
we don't have that in Halifax.
No.
It's like everyone is too humble in Halifax to talk about their art. And it's like, you need a hype man like Tara Thorne to roll up and actually ask you about it so you can talk about it.
Except I have found now that I'm in like film circles that we only just sit there and talk about film stuff.
Oh, so now you're a film person?
I feel like
you make one movie.
I feel like it's off-putting to those around us. And I'm just like, I made one movie, exactly. And I'm like, what else do I have going on? Nothing. But yeah, it's because I think also the humility thing is a good point. But the part that sucks is there's so little here.
The pie is so tiny.
It's so tiny. So like, and then if anyone's ambitious, we're mad about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I always reach out to people that I see what I would call hustling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I hope to God that that is working out for you
because
I know that that can't be easy around these parts.
Yeah.
Because it's true. People hate the hustle.
They do.
You do anything well, everybody hates you suddenly.
Yeah.
It's too small. It's very familial. I always say this.
I'm always like, who's your parents? How are you able to do this and not die?
Right.
Ben Proudfoot, Oscar winner.
You hear that, Ben?
I'm sure he's listening.
I don't even know who that is.
He won an Oscar this year. He's from here.
Oh, the Oscars are meaningless.
It's fun. I think I, you know, also looking back and you know what you didn't do. Like, you're like, oh, my feminism wasn't always intersectional. I didn't always lift up the most marginalized voices. Mm-hmm. All the things that we do now that are common practice, like, weren't. And I'm not saying that
things are changing so fast.
They are, and it's not, and it sounds like an excuse, and it kind of is, but like, you can't be like, well, I was a fucking visionary and doing it in 2004. Like, I wasn't.
No.
I wasn't. No. Like, we were like, here are the white ladies that prop up the fucking music scene, and we put them on the cover. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, that's
Sarah McLachlan.
That's a, not Sarah McLachlan. But I'm like, well, it's a woman, isn't it?
Well, like, I do say this to my young friends now. They'll get really, you know, hot and mad about something. And I'll be like, I know this sounds, like you say, it's an excuse. It's all these things. But it's like, literally 5 years ago, we were fighting to have, like, a single woman in the room.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, things are changing. Definitely not fast enough.
I know. We have 3 men on our entire set and 1 person of color. And I go, fuck, we fucked up. You know, even though it was 90% women.
It's true. And then you look at what other people are doing and you're like, that person didn't even try.
Yeah. Aaron Sorkin does not try.
I can't even sleep at night with the stress of it all.
Yes. Yeah. And it's usually people, usually men who are really well off, like really famous. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to make Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan. I'm going to put 12 of the famous white people that you know.
Yeah.
And no one yells at Christopher Nolan.
If I had his number, I would.
So yeah, I know this is getting whiny, but but yeah. So it's just sort of you hope. I always tried to elevate people, and sometimes that meant celebrating someone that was already elevated. And I think that's a bit different now, where it's more like we're trying to pull people up because again, there's no one to do it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the saddest part. I mean, I know that you will exist for all of time. But, like, in a way, you are actually the thread that keeps together all of these different artists from all of these different genres in town because we really don't mix well.
Yeah.
Like, we don't mix theater and film and music and dance, all of these things that we should.
Yeah.
Because when we do, it's, like, truly transcendent. But when I think about who is actually holding these things together, it's you. Like, you're the only reason I know what's cool in town. You're the only reason I know which shows to go see. God, you were at a secret Sarah Harmer show the other night.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know. I had COVID. But
you couldn't go. I didn't text you. I knew you couldn't.
But it's like, who fills that void?
Yeah. I don't know. But that's a good point. Maybe a call to you, all the artists, because I feel like intersectional is not the right word to use in this situation, but the communities don't always cross.
Interdisciplinary.
Yeah, they don't. And I think it's a mistake.
And we don't know what each other is doing, too.
Because
then you hear about it, you're like, that's so fucking cool. And did you know that this person is also doing this other very cool, similar thing? And if you pulled your grant money, maybe, you could make something a little bit bigger.
I mean, something I did on the movie was bring in Siobhan Martin, who's like a musician that I don't even really know that well. I just know how fucking talented she is. And I'm like, I think she could score a movie. And now she's like, hell yeah, I can score a movie. And I want to produce them.
Yes. What?
No one wants
Nobody
to produce.
Nobody likes that. Yeah. And Siobhan. Now
Palmer's doing sound design. Like, we're just getting, like, there's all these skills that transfer.
Yeah.
And so you could be helping each other while also supporting each other. And I'm saying you, like the royal you, like no, not you, anyone in particular.
No, I get it. Eastern Front Theater. We will do better. I'm sorry.
Get off your Dartmouth high horse. And yeah, the music scene is even worse for that. And that is why it's hard. Like, if you ask me what the biggest band in town is right now, I do not know.
Sloan.
Yeah, exactly. Because all the scenes are splintered. There's no crossover anymore. Yeah. Like, it used to be like everyone went to the same show.
Yeah.
It's like, this person's coming
to
town.
And that was because of the venues, too,
yes,
I think.
You sell at the Marquee. Like,
attic is gone.
Yeah.
Whoever thought we'd miss the attic? Not me. Used to work there. Yikes.
So, you know, it's just, and I think a lot of it is just a byproduct of the kind of world we live in now, where everything's curated and you don't have to listen to anything you don't want to. You don't have to watch anything you don't want to.
Yeah. You don't have to support local because you're getting everything.
Yeah. So, lament, lament, lament.
Well, it's all going to shit now that you're gone. Tara, the 15-minute question that Rich O'Coin Sorry to you, Richard Quinn.
what does it boil down to? Yeah.
It boiled down to this. How can we hear your voice for the rest of our lives?
Oh, I guess you could call me if you want.
Yeah. No, not. What about Joe? What about my dad? He's not going to call you. He might, actually.
I don't know. Buy some dance movie records on Bandcamp Friday. I don't know. I guess Spotify archives.
God, that's a real depressing end.
I mean, as you know, I don't listen to podcasts, so it's very weird that I host one.
I feel like that's also very Haligonia.
This is the third podcast I've hosted.
That's messed up. Is it the third one you've listened to?
And my friend Allison has one called Unsalted in Ontario. That's about it. If someone is on a podcast that I know, I'll listen to that.
Okay.
And I've been on many local ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think, I don't know. I think I'm out of outlets. I'm out of venues. I don't know. Look for me at the Hickory Farms holiday stand.
Working from your own casket.
That's right.
Tara Thorne.
Thank you so much, Kat. Is that all the calls, all the stuff?
Actually, there's a lot more questions, but I'm going to leave it.
Well, thank you for doing this. This was Palmer's idea.
Palmer! You always have my back, even though I don't know your name.
Palmer, Jordan Palmer Jameson. So thanks to you for coming in and these beautiful flowers. That this is not a visual medium, so you have to trust me that they're there. And the cake and the diamond. Gorgeous.
I mined that diamond. This is not fair trade.
Okay. Of course, I'd like to thank Tim Bousquet for the opportunity, because when everything went down, to your point about venues, no one was beating down my door like I was Lisa LaFlemme. But he reached out, and the original deal was 6 months, and it's been 2 years. So, and I got to do a show the way I wanted and talk to the people who interested me and bring my friends on to talk about the shit we love. If you remember Gilmore Girls, if you remember Scream, just my buds. It was so fun. Freedom as a journalist is very, very rare. I'm thankful for that. Thank you to Suzanne Rent for dealing with my random file deliveries. I'm blaming Palmer for most of those. And Iris Pierce for keeping me in check. Thanks to Heather Grant for helping me with the name. Second place was The Salt Bag. What do you think about that?
That'll be the next one.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who's ever come on the show to talk to me about their lives and their art, who was open and honest and kind and funny and willing to hand their time over. And thanks to my partner in crime on this project, the unseen guiding hand who popped up once in a while, Palmer Jameson, the engineer and mixer who made this sound so good in his North End studio, minus those 8 lockdown weeks where I engineered myself. We will not be referencing those again. It's been an honor and a pleasure to hang with you week after week, and I hope we get to do it again someday. Thank you, of course, to all of you who listened, especially those who subscribed in the early paid days when you were all on CERB. Without you, there was no reason to do this at all. I'm Tara Thorne, and this has been The Tideline. The Tideline is engineered by Palmer Jameson at the Golden Palm and produced by the Halifax Examiner.